balance. That word has a nice connotation. We desire to have lives that are in balance. The opposite of balance is instability. While we desire balance, Satan often causes us to fall into the instability of sin. Those of you that I spend time with on a regular basis know that I am always stressing a lifestyle of balance. Balance consists of a plan, a schedule, practice, and evaluation. Just like we find in Ecclesiastes, there is a time to pray, a time to play, a time to produce, and a time to pause. Some young adults I know like to alter that schedule, especially the pause or the sleep component, and then they try to replace it with the use of caffeinated energy drinks or coffee with shots of espresso. Then they wonder why they may become short-tempered, irritable, and downright lack grace. I always remind Wendy that when she empties the basket in the office that Jonathan and I share, she needs to remember that those empty monster cans and Bigby coffee cups belong to some of the young adults who enter that space. None of them are mine. But instability is not limited to just young adults. Let's look at the adults who are around my age. Honestly, when I began my seminary classes at Princeton, I was appalled to hear so much heresy by individuals who were preparing to take a place in a pulpit of a mainline denominational church. It is no wonder why some bodies of believers are currently headed down a slippery slope when their spiritual leaders are not clear about what Scripture defines as truth. Today, I want to explore how easy it is to champion one Christian position to the neglect of its biblical counterpart. In particular, I would like to focus today on truth and grace. Let's start with the definition of each one. First of all, grace equals unmerited kindness towards undeserving sinners. Unmerited means that there is no frown on the face of the individual doling out grace, as well as no keeping of a scorecard. Kindness and help are action words. Actions such as feeding the hungry, pouring yourself into somebody who needs a mentor, having a fruitful discussion on biblical interpretations, or forgiving someone who has wronged you. Those are all gifts of grace. They are actions towards sinners, just like you and me, who do not deserve or who are unable to earn this grace. The Bible is jam-packed with examples of grace. From Genesis, when God provides humans with clothing after the fall, through the New Testament, when Jesus lays down his life for our sins, and through the epistles, when the gospel is taken through the world, with grace enduring even the worst of persecutions. Now, let's look at truth. Truth equals the God-pleasing standard of what is good and right. The God-pleasing standard, a standard that never changes, true today and true always, a truth that is not relative. Truth is never about feelings or even about the Holy Spirit revealing something to a person unless it can be confirmed by Scripture. It is true that we are a people reformed and always reforming, but we are not a people of the gospel according to Mel Gibson. Truth and grace are spoken of in word over 300 times in the Bible, and at least that many times indeed. Balance. It is so important in life. But Satan and sin often cause us to champion one position to the neglect of its biblical counterpart. It is the instability of a hellfire and brimstone sermon by the Reverend Jonathan Edwards versus a self-deification, have-it-your-way designer sermon by society's high priestess, Oprah. Grace without truth is shallow and sentimental, breeds moral indifference, and keeps people from seeing an urgent need for Christ. Truth without grace is harsh and legalistic, self-righteous, poisons the church, and pushes people away from Christ. So, now that I've ticked people off from both camps, let me redeem myself, or at least give you a couple of minutes to cool off, by turning your attention to three raw and unedited soccer-based skits produced by the Young Adults a few weeks ago. They are entitled Grace Without Truth, Truth Without Grace, and finally, Grace and Truth. Now, I gave the Young Adults, I divided them into groups, and they each had about 10 minutes to put on these skits. So let's see what they came up with.
Time out! Get in, guys, hold on. You guys are not doing your job. I drew a play earlier in the before the game. You guys are not following it. You look like a bunch of fools and idiots. Go out there and play some soccer and make me happy.
Like that's possible.
Like that will make a difference.
Oh my gosh, George, you're lining up on the wrong side of the field.
Yes.
What is this?
Oh man, oh my god. The play started earlier and we have not got it together yet. Our minds are not in the game.
Get your head in the game. Come on. Zach Efron knows it.
Time out, come on! What? Getherin, again? You're behind the wrong side of the field. I should slap you across the head. You know, but honestly, you're not playing soccer.
Maybe you should learn how to coach.
Oh.
Oh. What? Why didn't you play some Powerpuff and then tell me?
This is soccer.
Are we done with the speeches or can we get on with this?
Well, maybe I'll tell you this. Go play some soccer, darn it. And tell the ref to, cut me some slack.
Sally, oh my goodness. That delayed kick. Did you eat your Wheaties for breakfast or did you not eat breakfast again? Don't you know breakfast is the most important meal of the day?
Yeah, maybe she just needs to spend some less time in McDonald's and a little bit more time practicing.
Yeah.
You mean Sally Parchin? Or is this Sally? Is that a girl or a guy? Dang! I guess he knows how to play soccer.
I don't know about this one. Looks like we're going. Joe, you call that a shot on goal? You could have hit the broadside of a barn. Coach, we should just forfeit.
Yeah, it's not worth it. They suck.
No. I got a plan.
Oh, great. He has a plan. Now it's all good now.
We're gonna win.
Bring in the enforcements. I just called.
I'm gone. Yeah, reinforce this.
Coach, I have a problem up here.
Oh, what's the problem?
I just scored a goal for the other team. I'm so sorry.
Well, as long as somebody got a point.
What?
At least you're trying, man. Yeah. Just try your best. That's all we can ask.
Yeah. I wanted to score a goal for my team. I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
It's okay.
Yeah. It's okay. Just
okay,
play
okay.
the game.
Okay, I'll
it's
back.
Not whether
I'll
you win or game. Lose.
Okay, okay, I got it. That guy just punched me.
Did you hurt his feelings?
No, I didn't hurt his feelings.
Did you step on his toe?
No, I didn't.
Are you preaching Christianity again?
No, he's a mean guy. I'm allowed to punch him.
Well, you did turn the other cheek, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
Better go punch him the other side of the face then.
What?
No, man, that's crazy.
Come on, just
go
just
back and be a winner.
Am I supposed to love this guy?
Yes.
Yes.
That's what Jesus said.
Okay.
Yeah, don't kick the ball too hard. You don't want to hurt anybody.
Yeah. That's not loving.
No way.
Coach, I have a problem.
What's the problem?
We are losing. I need some strategy.
Look, Parsh, love is our strategy here. Just be kind.
What?
Do your best and love the other team.
What? No, I need some like real strategy or we're losing the game.
Don't you remember the Beatles song?
Yeah.
Love is all you need.
All you need is love. Love. Love.
You guys are crazy.
No. You don't want to be too prideful.
Yeah, you can't be prideful, man. You have to be humble. You're focusing on winning too much. Winning's not important. It's being humble and loving.
It's about
people.
How you play the game.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Whatever.
He's a really good guy.
He is. He needs to learn to love a little more.
He just needs to accept people. Like,
he does.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, you
with
know,
love.
He's
yeah.
trying.
He's trying.
That's, you know, that's
he's on the right path.
He's
yeah,
on the
exactly,
right path.
Exactly.
Right.
He's on the right
yeah.
path. That's what's
yeah.
important.
Mm-hmm.
All right, 2 minutes left in the game. Come on, guys.
Come on, guys. You can do it. Oh, Chris, what is he doing? His man's wide open. Come on.
Chris?
My Chris, speed up. You can get him. You can catch him.
And
he's got it. He stole it. Oh, come on, Andy. He's
pass,
breakaway.
Pass. Oh, he's on a breakaway.
Oh. Is he going to shoot? Oh, man.
All right, bring it in, guys. Bring it in. Listen up.
Right.
I really like the hustle, you guys. You guys really
yeah.
kept us tied in the game. Chris, you lost your guy, but it's okay because you caught back up to him and you played defense and you didn't let him score. And Andy, that was awesome steal, bro.
Sorry, I missed that shot.
Oh, no, it's okay. I mean, missed shots happen, you know, but it's okay because
yeah.
you really scared them. But it's okay because we're going to shoot up now. We're going to get some
stuff. You stole the mess. You did a nice job, so.
You did a nice job. Okay, so. We're going to go into a shootout now. I say it's a good idea to put some fresh legs in there. You guys all
okay.
down for that?
Yeah.
All right.
I guess. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
All right, cool. Take a seat, guys. You guys did really good. All right, so... Okay, here we go. Emily's shooting.
Oh, come
okay.
on.
Okay.
Sorry, Emily.
Sorry, Emily.
Sorry.
Good try.
We'll
get it next time. Okay, so.
Okay, our team
is good. Come on, goalie.
Come on, Emily.
Oh, Rosie. Oh, she made it!
Woo! Yeah! Woo!
Woo! Good job, team.
We won.
You guys are awesome. I like that. We won.
Good job, everyone.
Nice effort. Good job, team.
The New Testament reading today from John refers to our Savior as the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So what does this say about Jesus? First of all, Jesus gives us what we lack. To become right with God, we must exhibit truth and grace. Jesus is the one and only source for both. We are saved by grace, not by works, and Jesus is the only sacrifice, teacher, and provider of that grace. To be saved, a sinner must embrace the truth, and Jesus is the truth. But even when we become right with God, we fall short on a daily basis and need that truth and grace provision regularly. Grace to get along with misinformed people in difficult situations, and truth to navigate through a sin-cursed world in which more and more sin is being justified by that's just how she's wired or he's like that because of his upbringing. Number two, Jesus has provided us with many examples to model after. Let's look at three of them. In John 3, Jesus shows the Pharisee Nicodemus grace by embracing him and spending much time teaching him, even though Nicodemus is afraid of people seeing them both together. Jesus speaks boldly about needing to be born again. That's truth. Truth and grace transform that Pharisee into a follower of Christ. In John 4, we read about the woman at the well who had five failed marriages and was currently living with a sixth man. How did Jesus treat her? He poured into her with grace and offered her living water, quenching her thirst for God. But Jesus also brought up the fact about her faulty thoughts and her attitude towards worship. That's truth. In John 19 and 20, we experience the grace of Jesus laying down his life for our sins and the truth that he can and will accomplish all that he has promised by overcoming death, being a living Messiah, sharing eternal life with us, providing the filling of the Holy Spirit to bring our spiritually dead selves back to life, and providing a template for the church's witness to the world. Number three, Jesus has shared grace and truth with us so that we may share both with each other. Colossians 4:6 commands us to, quote, "Let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone," end quote. 1 Peter 4:10 commands us, "Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms." Ephesians 5:9 states, "For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." And finally, 3 John 4 states that, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." To close, Randy Alcorn, in his book, The Grace and Truth Paradox, writes, quote, "John 1:14 boils down for us what it means to be Christ-like. It means to be full of only two things, grace and truth. Instead of a dozen, this gives us just two balls to juggle. It's succinct, a two-point checklist of Christ-likeness. Everything we do can be measured by the test of truth and grace. If we minimize grace in the world, or if we minimize grace, the world sees no hope for salvation. If we minimize truth, the world sees no hope for salvation. To show the world Jesus, we must offer full-orbed, unabridged truth and grace, magnifying both, never downsizing or apologizing for either," end quote. Now, as we prepare for the Lord's Supper, we come to this table knowing full well that Jesus is offering us truth and grace. Sinners wanted to be around Jesus because he loved them and they knew it. Sinners wanted to be around Jesus because he modeled truth and grace. Sinners wanted to be around Jesus because he was in constant communion with God. Friends, when we truly examine our hearts, we know that we all yearn for these same attributes. As we come to this table, let us be aware that in doing so, we are thanking God for creation, providence, and covenant history. We are remembering God's acts of salvation in Jesus Christ's birth, life, death, resurrection, and in his promise of coming again. We are calling upon the Holy Spirit to draw us into the presence of the risen Christ. We are asking God to join us to the risen Christ and to all God's people. And we are asking God to send us out into the world as disciples of the triune God. Amen.